All right. Okay, Psalm number 4. Psalm number 4. And verse number 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for your blessings. We ask, God, that you might bless the Word of God now as we study it. We pray, God, as we look at these scriptures and discuss the Word of God tonight, that you might, Lord, give some things that will help us tonight in our Christian life, help us to be a better servant of Jesus Christ, a better witness for Christ. And we thank you for what you do in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Psalm 4 is referred to as the evening hymn because he says in one verse there he's going to lay his head down at night and sleep and trust in the Lord. And so it seems like it's a prayer that he prays possibly before he retires for the night. That's in the last verse. So they call it the evening hymn. Now, we're going to talk about David here and some things about his salvation in verse number 1 and 2 here. He says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. David here is praying to God and praying to his Father in heaven. And he says at the very beginning of that psalm, hear me when I call. And so he wants God to hear his prayer. And he wants God, when you want God to hear your prayer, you don't want just... Many times we'll go to God in prayer and it's like, you know, we want God to listen to us, but we don't want Him just to listen to us. We'd like for Him to do something for us. We go to prayer in prayer sometimes, and sometimes we just pour our heart out to God and just that kind of thing and confess to Him and tell Him our needs and our desires and our wants and our problems and our troubles and things like that. And sometimes we feel better just for talking to God. But when you go to God and ask Him to hear you when you call upon Him, the idea behind that is you'd like for Him to not just listen to you, but to actually do something for you that you're asking Him. Prayer is simply calling on God, talking to God, and asking God for things. And he says, hear me when I call. Let's look at a couple of verses here tonight about that. Look at Psalm number 50. Psalm number 50. We'll run a few references on this. Psalm number 50. And while we're turning there, let me mention this here. I just saw this here. If you don't have that personal testimony sheet and you'd like a copy of it, maybe you got one, you lost it, something like that. Maybe you need another one. Maybe you didn't get one at all. I got some right here just after church. Just grab one there. Okay? All right. Psalm 50. And verse number 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. We talked about that a little bit in Daniel's case Sunday night. But again, that verse there says, he says, call upon me in the day of trouble. God says, when you have your day of trouble, come to call upon Him. Talks about withstanding in the evil day over in the book of Ephesians. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. And the evil day is not just... Sometimes you can get so dispensational sometimes, or so technical sometimes. You think every time I see the evil day and the day of trouble, that's the tribulation period. Well, maybe it is in some cases, but that's not always the case. David here is praying, or God's telling him to call upon Him the day of trouble. Your day of trouble could be any day. You could wake up or just turn the corner one day, and your day could turn into a day of trouble. The Bible said that man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. That's what Job said. And so you know what you got? You got troubles all your life. You got problems all your life. And you're going to deal with that all your life. You get tired of that stuff, but you know what? It's just going to be coming at you day by day, every day. The rest of your life, you're going to have some problems come your way. Things are going to break down. People are going to disappoint you. Your health's going to, you're going to get sick once in a while, whatever it might be. But you're going to have troubles. And so you call upon the Lord in the day of trouble. He said, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And again, God would expect you to glorify Him when He answers your prayer and delivers you. Look at Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Here's David praying. And he says this in Psalm 55, verse 16. He says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Now again, the word save is not always being saved from sin, saved from hell. Sometimes being just saved from and delivered from the troubles that surround you. And David's a saved man. So David's not necessarily just talking about, Lord, save me from hell, save me from my sins. He's talking about being delivered from his problems and his troubles and his trials and things like that. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. So he says here that he's going to pray three times a day. The Muslims, they pray five times a day, which is scriptural. The Bible is scriptural. Three times a day, scriptural. Daniel prayed three times, it said, back there in the Old Testament, book of Daniel, chapter 6, I think it was. And here David's doing the same thing. So they have a practice of praying three times a day. Now, that doesn't mean you can't. Now, the Bible says in the New Testament, you're to men always to pray, not to faint. The Bible says pray without ceasing. And that means you ought to be in a constant attitude of prayer all the time, all the time. Some folks don't get on their knees and pray three times a day. Some folks do. That's biblical to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. You're following David's example. You're following Daniel's example. And the Bible doesn't say you have to do that. David just simply stated that's what he did. And it's not a bad example to follow. It doesn't say that you have to do what Daniel did. It just tells you what Daniel did. He prayed three times a day. And so that's a good example to follow. So you might want to pray in the morning when you get up. You might want to pray at lunchtime. You might want to pray before you go to bed at night. And get three times of prayer in during the week, or during the day, that is. And again, some folks pray all day long, and we should pray all the day long, and be in a constant attitude of prayer like the Bible teaches. But here he's setting aside a special time of prayer is what he's doing, a special time of prayer. And there ought to be special times of prayer when you get along with God, and it's just you and God. And there ought to be times you ought to get with your family and pray. If you're a family and you have children, you ought to have a family altar. You ought to pray with your kids. You got to pray with your kids every week, even every day. You take the Mormons. The Mormons put most Christians to shame. You know what the Mormons have? They have what they call family home night. I think it's what they call it, family home night. You know what they do? Once a week, the Mormons sit down with their family, spend an hour playing games, reading the scriptures, and having prayer. And they're lost and going to hell. But they do that religiously every week. That's part of their practices. Christians ought to have what's called a family altar. You're saved, you know God, and you want your kids to know God. You got to set the example for them by having a time of prayer and Bible reading. That doesn't mean you have to spend an hour every night doing that. Just read a couple of verses, read a passage of Scripture, have a short prayer, and be done. That's all you got to do. That's all you have to do. If you want to go more in depth, you can do that. But most folks, they take it to the point where they think, well, I've got to have a complete Bible study set up here with an outline and all this other stuff, and I got to go at least 30 or 40 minutes or whatever, and this and that, whatever. Well, you don't have to do that. You can take 15 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is, and just sit down and pray, read some Scripture with your family. Just be in the habit of doing that. And that's called the family altar, and that will alter your family if you do that. Your kids ought to know that mom and dad pray. Your kids ought to know that mom and dad read the Bible. And y'all do it with them. Your kids should not go to bed at night without you praying for them and them hearing you pray aloud over them. Shouldn't happen. Verse 17, he says, evening and morning and at noon I'll pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. All right, so look at Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Psalm 145, and look at verse number 18 to 20. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. David says the Lord's nigh, He's near to, He's close beside all those that call upon Him and all that call upon Him in truth. So God says He's near to those who pray to Him. And the idea is here that a person here is saved and called upon God in a regular time of prayer. Verse 19, He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. If you fear God, love the Lord, then whatever desire you have, God says, I'm going to answer that and fulfill your desire. There's one verse in the book of Proverbs that says this. It says, the desire of the righteous shall be granted. That's a great promise. The desire of the righteous shall be granted. You're saved. You're one of the righteous. You got some desires tonight? The desire of the righteous shall be granted. If you call upon God, God will answer your prayer. And He says here, he'll fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. So if you fear God, and you are saved and living the right kind of life, then according to the Bible, God's going to fulfill your desires and grant your desire. James says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I believe it's talking about a saved man, but I believe it's talking about a saved man who's living right also. I don't get this idea that I run across people that aren't in church, aren't really living for God and walking with the Lord, and how can you lay out a church and say, well, I pray to God and God answers my prayers? Well, I don't know if that works that way or not. You got to be living right. And he said the prayer of a righteous man avails much. I read a statement the other day where it said, nothing is beyond the reach of prayer except that which lies outside the will of God. Which means this. It means that your desires have got to be in line with God's will. And if you pray, you know what's going to happen? Your desires will fall into the will of God. If you're not living right, that's not saying that your desire is going to be fulfilled and God's honor is bound to answer your request to fulfill the lust of your flesh. The Bible says you have not because you ask not, and then it says you have not because you ask amiss over in the book of James. And so many times we're praying for God to do something, but we're not living right. Many times we're asking God to do something for us, and we ask amiss because we're asking outside the will of God. And the reason you ask outside the will of God is because at that moment, you're not right with God. And God, when you're praying, may lay on your heart and say, you know, that's not what y'all be praying for. He'll change your desires on the inside is what he'll do. So that you'll desire what he wants. And then you'll pray according to the will of God. But he says, hear me when I call upon you, Lord, and answer my prayer. And then he says this in verse number 1 again, chapter 4. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. The God of his righteousness was the God of the Bible, the God of salvation. David knew his righteousness was from God. And the basis of his prayer was not his own merits, but the merits of the Lord himself. He didn't pray in his own name. He didn't pray on the basis of his own goodness necessarily. But he was praying because he knew God was his righteousness. And that's where our righteousness is found, is in God. It's not in ourselves. Now, in the Bible, there's different kinds of righteousness. There's imputed righteousness. That's the righteousness you get when you get saved. God imputes righteousness to you. He credits to your account. That's the righteousness that gets you into heaven and saves you. Then there's personal righteousness. Personal righteousness is what the saints are going to be clothed in after the judgment seat of Christ, according to the book of Revelation. That is what you do and how you live. You are, in essence, the Bible says, you know, you want to stand before God and you don't want to be naked. What it's talking about is you want to be clothed. And the personal righteousness of the saint is the robes that we're going to wear when we come back with him at the second advent. And that's all going to be determined by how you live down here and how you fare at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's personal righteousness. Personal righteousness doesn't save you. But personal righteousness does give God an opportunity to bless you and meet your needs and answer your prayers. And then you got self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is somebody trying to be right with God on the basis of their own goodness. And the Bible says clearly that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So self-righteousness is really self-righteousness is fooling yourself into thinking you're better than what you are. That's what self-righteousness is. You think you're better than what you are. You think you're better than everybody else around you. And you think you're good enough to please God. And you're mistaken on all those counts. Because none of us are good enough to please God on our own. That's why we need God's righteousness. And he talks about God's righteousness. Now, we're going to stop there tonight. And we'll pick that up next week, Lord willing, on Wednesday night. And kind of talk some more about this righteousness here that he speaks of. But tonight, let's just remember that we need to pray. And we need to pray according to the will of God. And we need to pray frequently and regularly and constantly. And make it a habit to pray regularly. You know what? If you don't get in the habit of doing some things, you won't do it. You say, what's the purpose of maybe following David's prescription of 3 prayers a day, morning, noon, and night? Because that way you'll do it. If you don't plan to do things, you know what you're going to do? You're not going to do them. Whether it's something in your physical life, your personal life, your job life, whatever it is, and your spiritual life too, you got to make a point that this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to church, going to read my Bible, and I'm going to pray. And if you don't set aside a time for that and plan on doing that, most of the time, you're going to find yourself not being a regular worshiper of God or a regular prayer warrior. You're going to be somebody who just hits and miss just whenever it comes. Oh, I forgot I need to pray today. Well, if you'd have thought ahead of time, you'd done figured out you need to set aside the time to pray. What we do is prayer is the last resort with most Christians these days. It ought to be your first resort. If you prayed first, you might not need a last resort. Amen? So David says, "Hear me, O God, when I call upon you." And we want God to hear us. So we need to find out what God wants us to do about that. And we talk about some of that tonight. Okay, we're going to...